So this afternoon we have our session, our Thursday session on sanctification. We've already dealt with transformation, growth, and perseverance. And so today is the fourth in the series, for those who have not been here, the fourth in the series, and we're looking at contagious Christianity as a topic. Now before we actually start, our brother Steve is going to give us a 30-second commercial, okay?
It's going to be metric seconds, so it might take a little longer. A couple of books from the bookshelf that I just brought along for today. First and Second Thessalonians by Hamilton Smith. Obviously, we're not speaking just about the books of Thessalonians, but if you're interested to get a very helpful outline, if you're not familiar with Hamilton Smith as an author, he writes really clear, distinct outlines. He presents things in a very organized manner. Really helpful commentaries to get a very good overview of many books of the Bible, including First and Second Thessalonians. I knew a middle-aged brother when I was younger, and without any disrespect at all, this brother said, "All you need, if you want to understand the scriptures, all you need is a hammy." And he meant Hamilton Smith. And somebody said, "Really, all you need is a Bible." He said, "Amen, and a hammy." So he comes well recommended. Secondly, Classic Christianity by Bob George. The first chapter is Busy and Barren. And when we're speaking about contagious Christianity, we really want to encourage ourselves in understanding the underpinnings of the faith and then our response to it. This book was written, I believe, in the 80s, 1990, and it's been very helpful to many. Classic Christianity by Bob George. And then lastly, Peter Lucia wanted me to mention that on the website growingrace.com, there will be recordings of these sessions. There's a number of business cards on the back where you can just take this along with you and use that to remind you. Recordings of these and many other sessions from the conference. Also on that page, as well as on the EBC Young Adults Facebook page. If you don't know about that, you can just on Facebook search for Young Adults EBC, and you'll find it, and we'll post on Peter's page, as well as on the Facebook page, the notes that summarize the week that we've had, more than just the outline, but notes from our discussion.
Okay. So we're going to look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It's going to be kind of where we spring out of and looking at other things. And the subject, as said, is sanctification. And when we think about this subject, this is a very vast subject. It's a subject that actually goes from the Old Testament all the way from one end of the Old Testament all the way to the other end of the New Testament. But when we think about this, the thought of sanctification, the verb form of the word for sanctification is hagiozo, and it means to separate or to separate to or to set apart from. That's the verb form. The noun form is usually translated holy. And so when we read through and we see the word sanctification here in 1 Thessalonians, it means sanctification, but when we read the word holy or holiness, it also means sanctification. And so this thought of being set apart. Now, I just want to give us a couple of things. One, I want to give us just sort of an idea that this idea of sanctification has always been God's mind. From the very beginning, God wanted a people separated for himself. And it's interesting, and I just want to touch a couple of high points. In the book of Exodus, for example, we're not going to turn to it, but just to point this out. In the book of Exodus in chapter 19, prior to the law, Moses sanctified the people. Moses sanctified the people. And then in Exodus 13, the firstborn males and the firstborn beasts or animals were sanctified, set apart for the Lord. In Exodus 28, we find that Aaron and his sons were set apart for that service for the Lord. And so this idea of sanctification, and there was a ceremony with this sanctification, this being set apart, this being consecrated, this being dedicated to the Lord, this idea of sanctification. And then I might mention in Genesis 2, verse 3, the Sabbath day was set apart for God, for a day of rest. And then we go back to Exodus 19, and we're reminded that Mount Sinai itself was set apart for God. And then we could think about Ezekiel 37, and I'm just giving you some things to think about. Ezekiel 37, verse 28, interesting, it says there that God set apart the nation of Israel for himself. So he set apart the nation of Israel for himself. So this theme of sanctification, as we're looking at it, is all through Scripture. In Exodus 30, we're reminded that the tabernacle was sanctified, set apart for God. In 2 Chronicles 7, we're reminded that the temple was set apart, sanctified for God. And then in Leviticus 27, houses and fields could be devoted to God. And you know, it could go on and on. But here's the one that really touched me. In John chapter 10, we read that the Lord Jesus Christ himself was set apart unto God. That's precious. That is a precious thought to think about. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 4, we read there that everything, every created thing is sanctified through the word of God and through prayer. And there's much we could develop in all these things. But we want to get to the, how does this idea of sanctification apply to you and I? And when we think about sanctification in the scriptural terms, how does it apply to us? There's three aspects. And I just want to mention them before we zero in on one of those aspects. But there's the positional sanctification. And positional sanctification is what God has done the moment you and I were justified, declared righteous by God, the moment we were brought back to God, reconciled to God. All of these things happen at the same time. We're justified, declared righteous. We're sanctified, set apart for God. And this is what we have in Romans chapter 6. We have this teaching in Romans chapter 6 that we're buried with Christ. And as Christ was raised, we're risen with Christ. And then he says, since that's true, you know that to be true, now reckon it to be true. Not only know it, but now consider it to be true. And then he says, now that you're considering it to be true, present your instruments as holy instruments unto God. Right? And this is positional being brought into the practical. And we could look at many, many different scriptures on the positional side. I just want to give us one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is striking to me. Somebody read 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. You can read 1 and 2 just to get that connection. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 and 2.